Chassid Elech, Talmid Elech, the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am doing good. Everything good. Is good. So
wonderful.
I heard there were two great events since the last time that we talked.
Yes, we
in
did.
In our
we
community.
Had, we had on Sunday, we had kids, home and Tashin Beit, which was spectacular. We had over 25 kids, Jewish children from Windsor come to Chabad to create their own Hamantash, fill it with whatever they wanted, chocolates and blueberry and strawberry and who knows what else. And then we baked it. And after that, they designed it, dipping it in chocolates and sprinkles, and the kids had a blast. It was absolutely amazing. While all learning all about the story of Purim in a fun way. And then last night, we had a Jewish woman circle, Hamantash Bake, which was well attended. We had a lot of women coming to bake Hamantash and learn the story, the hidden stories of Purim, which really coincide. We didn't think about it then, but, you know, everything works out. God has a master plan for everything that we do. And last night, we had the Jewish woman's Hamantash Bake. And today is International Women's Day.
That's it.
So it's amazing how God runs the world, runs our lives, and everything, nothing happens out of chance. Everything is a reason for that. And this really, truly shows the amazing importance and the amazing connection that there is in this world and how important the women are in this world. And it shouldn't only be on once a year, a day in International Women's Day. Every day should be a Women's Day, as well as, you know, we say every Friday night, we read the special prayer of Eshet Chayil. The woman of El, the importance of the woman in this world. So, you know, whether it be in the workforce, whether it be at home, whether it be in community service, in whatever it may be, women get involved and are so important. Let's go and look just in the Torah portion, not this week, but last week and the week before, where the Jews were the ones that the men were coming and saying, where's Moses, so on and so forth. And they went and they go and do the golden calf, the Pet HaEgel.
Egel HaZav.
Right, the Egel HaZav. But who were the people that weren't part of it and did not give any money towards it? Were the women.
The women. They are always smarter.
They're smarter, pure, and everything else. So it's just interesting, amazing. Our God works in mysterious ways. We had that event. It really coincides with International Women's Day. But anyway, in this week's Torah portion, which is Pekudei, we get an accounting of all the gold, silver, copper, so on and so forth that is made for the Mishkan. And the Mishkan, the Holy Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Tabernacle, so on and so forth, everything is completed. And all its components are brought before Moses. Moses erects it and anoints with the holy anointing oil and initiates Aaron and his four sons into the priesthood. Now, if you go and look, out of all the Torah portions that have happened previously leading up to this week's Torah portion, the drama was almost complete. The people that exiled in a foreign country for more than two centuries and for much of that time, really in unbearable condition, experienced the miraculous liberation through direct and manifested intervention by God. At Mount Sinai, God and Israel entered into a mutual covenant to become partners in Tikkun Olam, repairing the world. Never again in history would God completely part the veil that conceal him, communicating his presence to an entire nation. 40 days later, in a moment of collective insanity, the people deny God. They substitute the moral sovereign of the universe for the golden calf. Now God views his attempt to mold a people into a kingdom of princes and a sacred nation, which was a failure at that period of time for a little bit. He sees no value anymore in the Jewish experience. Moses stands up to God, eliciting from him a deeper chord in his relationship with Israel. God re-embraces the people and instructs them to build a home in their midst. And in the sanctuary, the all-pervading truth of God would be more manifest and acceptable. And the the Jewish people and Max present to Moses large amounts of gold, silver, copper, and all the other materials required for the construction of the tabernacle. And Moses appoints brilliant architects, sculptors, designers to build their homes, design the vessels, and carve out the furniture. So that's what we've been dealing with till today, till this week's Torah portion. And at the opening of the Torah portion of this week of Pekudei, the work is complete. And soon, the sanctuary will be erected, and the divine presence would reside therein. And this is a charged moment. It's a dramatic peak in a long and turbulent journey, if you will, of the people. After all the ups and the downs, God is about to move in, quote-unquote, with the Jewish people. And the hero of the story is no doubt Moses. Because with courageous selflessness, he triumphed over God, as it were. He is the man responsible for bringing the people and God to this extraordinary moment when humanity would reintroduce God to a world that in essence really banished him. But wait. Right at this moment when everything has happened, the Torah interrupts the narrative, shifting the story from creating a space for God in this world to the realm of bookkeeping. Because Moses at this point presents a detailed account, as we said, of all the wealth contributed to him for the construction of the tabernacle. He reports to people how many pounds of gold, silver, and copper he received, and how exactly it was used in the structure. He gave an account of every last piece of jewelry and metal that came into his hand. And the question that probably everyone is asking, at least the Medrash, asks is why? And the Medrash relates that some Jews started to murmur about Moses stealing money, using charity funds for his own purposes. So thus, Moses gave a detailed account of the destination of every dollar collected in the building of the campaign.
Yeah.
But this is a simple but very telling scene. Because Moses, let us recall, is the spiritual giant of history, whom Maimonides, the Rambam, defines as the greatest human being ever to walk this earth. God would speak to Moses face to face, as a man would speak to his friend. The Bible says, "Not so my servant Moses. God thunders on Aaron and Miriam after they had gossiped about him. And in my entire house," as it says in the Torah, "he is the trusted one. Mouth to mouth do I speak to him. Why do you not fear to speak against my servant Moses?" is what God said to Aaron, to Miriam, and to the other people. Does a man who speaks to God face to face really need to prove that he is not using money for a cruise in the Caribbean or buying a Lamborghini or building his portfolio? The Jews observing Moses' unparalleled devotion and love to them in the most trying of circumstances, putting his life on the line when they were banishing God, knew full well that Moses was not some cheater. If God trusts him, they could trust him too. Even though there were Jewish, rebel rousers that were murmuring, but most people, who do they think they are to question God's and Moses' integrity? We would expect Moses to think himself. He gave up his life for the rebels. How dare they challenge my honesty? Yes, even though Moses had the right to go, but yet astonishingly, without even being asked or instructed to do so, Moses, in the total humility, stands up and gives an accounting of every last penny that came into his hand. And I think this is one of the most great moral messages of Judaism, which is when it comes to somebody else's money, to somebody else's possession, be accountable for every dollar. Don't cover it up. Don't lie. Because you can't lie to people and then be honest with God, with your wife and with your children, with your friends. make us appreciate money. That's the way life is. Some of us love money. Even spiritual leaders, rabbis, holy people need money and often cherish it. It's not evil. The story turns ugly when we become dishonest with our money. We must learn from Moses, who did not have to give an accounting, because God would have vouched for him instantaneously. But we have to learn from Moses to always be able to give an account of every dollar that came into our hands. And that is, I think, one of the most, if we're genuine to our friends, to our family, to God, then in essence, we don't have to show and prove to the whole world this is what we're doing. But we have to be genuine. We have to be, you know what? I don't care what people think. I could be the greatest person, Moses thinks in his mind, but I am going to make sure that no one even thinks for a second that the money that was used for the Holy Faith Mission was used for something else. And he gave an exact deep accounting in that. When it comes to something that is not ours, we need to cherish and make sure that we keep it and give in a total accounting to make sure that everything is there the way that it's supposed to be done. And I think that is such a humbling lesson that we can learn from Moses. If Moses is willing to do that, how much more so we should not have an issue in doing that as well.
That's interesting.
This week is exactly 2 weeks before Purim. And Purim starts Wednesday night, the 20th of March. It goes till Thursday evening, the 21st of March. So Wednesday evening, we're going to have a Megillah reading with Hamantashen and kids coming dressed up if they want, so on and so forth. That's going to be held at 8 o'clock in the Star Chapel. We always get a beautiful crowd with the braggers and so on and so forth. And then we have our big annual community Purim party, which is taking place Thursday, March 21st at the JCC, Jewish Community Center, in the gym. 5 o'clock is going to be Megillah reading. 5:30 is going to be dinner and entertainment. We're going to have a royal Purim feast with amazing food. We're going to have music, Purim crafts for the kids. We're going to have an entertainer, a magician, illusionist, the amazing Carbon. He is spectacular. He is amazing. And it's basically fun for the whole family. Excuse me. Kids come dressed up. We always have an amazing turnout of kids. They all come dressed up in any costume that they want. And every kid that comes dressed up receives a prize.
That's it.
And it's $20 an adult. Kids 12 and under are free, thanks to a generous sponsor that believes that kids under 12 should not have to pay, or the parents should not have to pay for them coming to a firm event or any event, and therefore he wants to cover every kid that comes, so which is an amazing thing. As well as, we make life so much easier. You can go into our website, WindsorChabad.com, click on Purim in the Palace, reserve, pay for it already by credit card. You come to the door, you check off your name.
Ooh, that's great. That's new?
That's this year. It's a new thing that we decided to do. So everything is virtual. We try and make it as easy as possible. And if you don't want to, pay with your credit card online, even though it's a secure form, no problem. Reserve, and then come and pay cash at the door. Either way, we have you covered.
You can come like Mordechai and Esther. Everything is ready.
That is correct. And you can even come dressed up as Mordechai and Esther if you want even better.
And then you may get a prize.
Yeah.
Okay, Rabbi. So I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom. And we mention again the event on next Thursday.
Yeah, and then next Thursday we'll start talking about Purim.
That's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. Good Shabbat Shalom. We'll talk next week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, be well. Bye.